This is CliffCentral.com.
Now, that was Harry Belafonte, Sia. How can you even ask, what am I doing? That's like one of the greatest singers in the whole universe ever.
Okay.
Harry, if I'd said Harry Belafonte up front, you wouldn't have pulled that face.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
I wouldn't have. It was just a bit too slow for me.
I know your style's much more Yoko Ono, right?
It's the Yoko Ono Christmas album with all your holiday favorites, featuring Holly Jolly Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, and many, many more.
Right. It's more your scene.
Oh, so soothing. So incredible.
All right. It is Christmas in a couple of days' time, so this is really the last burning platform for the year, and we thought we'd look back at some of the big stories, and I'm thrilled to have Catherine Child on the line. Hey, Catherine, nice to speak to you. How are you? Is she on the phone or on the Skype? Oh, boom, 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 bling. I can tell she was on the Skype. Are we getting her back on? Okay. Yeah, we'll discuss some of the biggest stories of 2018. I mean, I can't believe this year is already at an end. For some people, it couldn't have ended soon enough. But we have to cast our mind back to what happened, and Sia brought this up when we were doing the five things a little earlier on. Jacob Zuma resigned in February of this year. It doesn't feel like it was this year. It feels like it was ancient history. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Good morning. I'm getting ready to go on holiday.
Oh, nice. Are you actually going to go away, or are you just going to take it easy?
No, I'm going to Cape Town.
Nice.
I'm from South Africa.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's there already.
I know. There's no traffic in Joburg. It's just us suckers sitting here.
I love it. I'm sorry. I'm the only one who I can't get enough of how quiet Joburg is. I could be here all the time if it was like this.
Oh, how boring.
Yeah, well, all right. Listen, you got a couple of days off, so you don't have to worry about the big news stories. But if we look back at this year, it's incredible how far we've come. This time last year, Jacob Zuma was still our president.
That's incredible. I mean, this time last year, I think it came down to about 179 votes at the big ANC meeting to put Ramaphosa in power. It was going to be Kotazana Zuma. So, I mean, this time last year, he scraped in, and that was the beginning of the end for Zuma.
Well, is it though for him post then? Because having not been president for almost a year, he hasn't really. I don't know that he's made any massive mistakes in this year that aren't mistakes from before, but he hasn't had a terrible year. He still isn't in jail for all those charges of corruption. There's lots to be proven still, and he seems to have been going around fomenting a huge amount of opposition to certain people in the ANC and even people outside of the ANC. He's also recently joined social media.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a lot of followers in a very short time. So he still seems really, really popular.
There we go. All right. Well, there was the burning platform, everybody. A whole 3 minutes with Catherine Child today because of a great Skype line. Just see if you can sort out. Also, just tell her to turn down her sound on that side because it sounds like there's a huge amount of feedback. So as we were saying about him, I mean, he became president in 2009, right? He faced allegations of corruption, money laundering, fraud. He, of course, denies any wrongdoing. He was also acquitted of the charges of rape, and that was before he became president. He resigned as leader of South Africa on Valentine's Day during a televised address to the nation. I remember watching that live on TV. His resignation came after the ANC, the country's ruling party, ordered him to step down from his role on the Monday of that week. Part of his statement included this. He said, "I resign as President of the Republic with immediate effect, even though I disagree with the decision of the leadership of my organization. I have always been a disciplined member of the organization." So those were his last words as president. And I remember him saying them on TV, but I'm wondering how much has really changed. And a lot of people are saying a lot, a fortune has changed. But obviously, Catherine, you're back. I was just talking about the night that Jacob Zuma resigned and how much has happened since. And we were talking about social media and everything else. So your thoughts on a year of not having to have Zuma as president?
You know, I think things have happened slowly behind the scenes. If you look at the SEOs, SOEs, ESCOM, Danel, Transnet, one by one, the big leaders have resigned. These are the people implicated in state capture, who stole millions and millions and billions, and they're gone. The head of Danel is gone. The CFO is gone. There's an SIU investigation about to look into the arms dealer and all the corruption that happened there. SIU is looking into ESCOM. They're looking into Transnet. So I think we need to credit Ramaphosa. He's really cleaned up the boards of the state-owned enterprises.
And he has also managed a clean cabinet. Yeah. Can you hear us properly now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, good.
He's still there. So he's partially clean cabinet. I mean, Malusi Gigab is gone, thank goodness.
Yeah, but that's through no action on Cyril's part, unless he was playing a very long game and laying down some very, very long-term strategic and tactical moves. Because Malusi Gigaba really did this to himself, right?
I think it was a lot. I mean, he was not very popular before he resigned. So, I wonder who actually leaked the sex tape, and maybe it was Cyril, but it probably was someone in the ANC. So, did he do it to himself, perhaps? I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So by the time they resign, it is Ramaphosa's word to push them out.
You mentioned Tom Moyane. Now, what's happening with him? What are the latest developments there?
Well, thank goodness. He tried to get the SARS inquiry shut down, and he went to the Constitutional Court.
Now, you know what, Catherine, I'm going to can this because we've got such a terrible line. I don't think it's worth even trying to proceed. I'm sorry, everybody. It's just when the line is that bad, it's frustrating for you, and I don't want you to have to go through that. But one of the things I wanted to address was Tom Moyane, because he's now decided to continue fighting a big and costly war to try and get his job back, because the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has cleaned out state-owned enterprises and cleaned out SARS. He was suspended in March, had to face his own disciplinary hearing, as well as the Commission of Inquiry into SARS, which was headed by Judge Robert Nugent. Now, Tom Moyane says that panel, that Commission of Inquiry, has no jurisdiction over him and that they're biased. He's even tried to remove certain lawyers from the counsel that oppose him, because he feels that they're also biased against him. I mean, the guy's got a bigger victim complex than almost anyone. The other thing that Cyril's done is he's come in, as already indicated by Catherine, you might have heard that or you might not, cleaned up state-owned enterprises or started to clean them up, brought in Pravin Gordhan as Minister of Public Enterprises, which of course is a huge role and is the seat of so much of the corruption that's been happening. There's been a lot of opposition political shenanigans, not just within the EFF and the DA, but even some of the smaller parties. But let's look at the EFF first of all. At the moment, struggling to deal with a public relations nightmare in this VBS bank scandal, which seems to indicate that a lot of senior EFF people, including Floyd Shivambu and Julius Malema, have had their hands in the till that ultimately fell over and caused many pensioners, rural people in Limpopo, and people who really weren't expected to, they were reliant on this money. It was sometimes their life savings in a bank that they thought was legitimate, and have lost everything because it was just hollowed out from the inside. That's the biggest story, I suppose, for the EFF for this year, quite apart from the fact that they continue to agitate racially. And then the DA has fallen apart spectacularly under Musi Maimane. He seems to be losing his grip on leadership. Patricia de Lille has caused them unbelievable embarrassment this year. Whether or not she is guilty is besides the point. The ugliness of their breakup has made the DA look very bad, regardless of whether they were right or wrong to get rid of her. And, of course, Helen Zille has completely stepped aside, not only as the Western Cape Premier now, which she'll be completing her final term there, but also as someone who used to be very vocal about certain party political things on Twitter. She's become almost like a Twitter activist in her spare time. So lots of things that I wanted to discuss this morning in the Burning Platform. Perhaps we also wanted to get into the Andile Mtama things. I saw he was briefly back on Twitter yesterday or the day before, and then that was shut down too. So clearly he's having no luck. I don't know whether this year's politics has been enough for you, but it has certainly been enough for me. I've had it. No more politics for me for the year. I'm out of there. And I don't even know, because next year's an election year, whether we should give the politicians too much of our time. As far as I'm concerned, we should try to keep it as politics-free as possible. That's if you want to have a happy year. If you don't want to have a happy year, go ahead. Mix yourself in with all of them, and I can promise you that'll come true too. All right, so there's the burning platform. I'm sorry that we couldn't hear Catherine properly, and we will make sure that next year we start off really, really strong with a powerful kind of prediction of what the big stories of the year might be. And I think you might have some idea of what that is too. So stick around for the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, as from the 7th of the week of the 7th of January next year. Hang your shining star above the highest
bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Oh, isn't that nice, huh? Yes. How lovely. And here's a good song. This one is a really happy song. Are you ready?
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock.
Okay, all right. You know how that goes, right?
That's a different type,
a different
of
kind of
Christmas
song.
Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Mr. Schmangel says, hey, guys, just wanted to say that in 2018 you were the best show I've listened to. I love the interaction. And as listeners, we can have fun with you guys. I sometimes suffer from verbal diarrhea, and I don't really give two shits what I say, but I must say it was fun. Best show was when you were higher than Mount Everest on marijuana edibles.
Mm.
Yeah, for you maybe.
Yeah.
Rock on, Cliff Central. Wishing all you guys the best for 2019. Peace, love, and happiness, Mr. Schmangels. Isn't that nice? And also, this is a shout-out to Hi Rob, who is home. If you're here, come and visit the aquarium, Rob, as my guest, Michelle. Yeah, Hi Rob is in Cape Town, apparently.
Ah.
Yes. All right, so maybe we should see if he's around to come and visit us in January. Don't know if he's flown in straight to Cape Town or whether he'll be passing through Joburg. We'll try and get hold of him.
All right.
So what we're going to do, we'll probably have a sort of mini burning platform tomorrow as well, so we can just make up for what we didn't get to today, and see how we'll make sure we get someone really good in there as well. I do want to introduce you to someone called Liam, who is a listener of ours. He actually emailed me. We got an email from Liam, who listens all the way from Dubai. He told us some pretty fascinating things in the email that he's experienced in the past 4 years of working there. He's seen it gets so hot that shoes actually melted off people's feet.
That sounds from so the desert heat. Unreal.
I was lying in bed last night and it was hot and I was going, oh, it's so hot and you can't get to sleep. I suddenly thought of this email that Liam had sent us. Shoes melting off of people's feet. Dude, welcome, by the way. Is that real?
Yeah, it's real. It's quite entertaining when you get the guys coming over, coming to Dubai from overseas. And they head to the desert wearing the nice Adidas and the nice Nikes. And at the end of the day, they melt and they're falling apart.
Jesus. I mean, that must be... What kind of temperatures are we talking about? That's outrageous.
Summertime, it's pretty warm. It's average about 55 to 60 degrees Celsius.
Can you imagine? I mean, here it gets to 40 and we start... we feel like we're melting.
No, 40 is nice for us. It's nice and cool. We actually, you know, if you want, you can open the window.
Well, it's very nice to have you here, man.
That's a pleasure.
You're in town, obviously, visiting family, and you're here for Christmas.
Yep. I've managed to get 3 weeks leave, so spending time with my nephew and my niece, and then heading off to a wedding.
Tell us what you do. You're a test driver.
I'm officially a test driver for Jaguar Land Rover in the Middle East.
That's phenomenal.
And it's very cool. It's very fascinating getting to see what goes into testing a vehicle, you know, from the initial test car going through to the production unit, which is very fascinating.
So what stage do they bring it to you?
We get various builds. So you get... pre-production, you get test tool, you get FEU units. FEU is field evaluation unit. So it's more or less the vehicle 90% complete, and then they send it out and we give them feedback on what we feel works and what doesn't work.
So why do they do it in Dubai?
Because of the extreme temperatures.
So I actually want to see if it would make it in the desert.
Yes. And the cars that you guys get on your showroom floor, trust me, they are more than capable of heading off into the desert.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you ride them up over dunes and that kind of thing?
Dunes, rocks, rivers, what we call them wadis, through the fields, the highways. And it's very fascinating because in the city of Dubai, with the extreme heats and driving in the cities, obviously the temperature increases because the concrete doesn't absorb the heat.
Right.
So when you drive through the cities, the congested cities, everything heats up. So some of the components on the car, you know, you'll have plastic pipes.
Ooh.
And the pipes will start to melt.
Well, I mean, if your sneakers are melting, then it would stand to reason that other parts of the car might also start melting.
Yeah. And the worst is when the AC stops working.
Oh, my God. Oh, that no. must be all oh kinds no. of hell.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Because in Dubai, the little bit of experience I've got, and you must help fill in the blanks here for me, but you really go from one air-conditioned location to another because otherwise it's just unbearable.
You run from one side to the other side.
Yeah, and being outside is just not an option.
Not in summertime, no. You can try and brave it. You can attempt to go to the beach. Oh no. You park in your car next to the beach and you watch everybody on the beach.
With the air conditioner on.
Yes, on full blast.
Okay, well, this sounds like a really interesting job. How did you end up doing this?
Honest answer, luck.
Yeah?
That's what it came down to.
What were you doing there at the time that you got asked to do test driving?
I originally went over working as a product trainer for Jaguar Land Rover. And the academy center that I work at, it's right next door to the engineering department. And obviously, you know, we chat to the guys in the different departments. And then after 6 months, I left the academy and I started a job at General Motors. And then out of the blue, 2 years later, the gentleman, John Winchester, that runs the engineering center, he rang me up and said, would you be interested in this position?
Oh, cool.
I mean, yeah, I could never say no to that.
So what's life like in Dubai? I mean, you go to work every day, but then what do you do for fun? I mean, how much time do you have off? I know that you guys have your weekend on different days to the weekends we have.
Yeah, it's a bit weird because we work Sunday through to Thursday. So
right.
Our weekends is Friday and Saturday. It's got its benefits, but the worst is you miss all the sport on a Sunday. You've got the Formula One, the football, the cricket.
Oh, yeah, because
so
you're
go
at work.
To work. You're like, oh, man. But there's so much to do over there. Literally, when people come over and they say, oh, let's go do something.
What kind of place do you live in?
I live in an apartment block.
Okay.
So I'm on the 20th floor.
Wow.
Ooh.
Got a view?
Yeah. It's pretty nice. I can see out into the desert. The desert's it's very pretty.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I would imagine also that there's just construction everywhere because I've never flown into Dubai and not seen cranes on every horizon.
It never ever stops. That, you know, the sound of a construction truck reversing? Yeah. That
beep, beep, beep,
oh,
beep.
Man.
That's just a constant.
That
here
all
that
the time.
Is the norm.
So do you have a one-bedroom, a two-bedroom flat? What kind of a place is this?
I'm fortunate. I've got it's a decent-sized one-bed apartment.
Uh-huh.
Other people, you know, you kind of feel for the workers because it was a big shock for me when I first moved there because people hire beds. They don't necessarily hire rooms.
Wow.
So you'll have...
It's almost like a dormitory then.
Like a dormitory, yeah. And you've got people from all over the world, and you look at these people, and you're like, wow, you know, you must be successful. And then you hear that they're sharing a room with 10 other people. It's like, whoa. But it's not like that for everybody.
No, of course not. And I mean, I've got other friends who are in Dubai, and they say that they have a really interesting and really great life, and they don't feel deprived of anything. They've got lots of space.
Yeah.
You earn good money.
You do, but also everything's expensive over there.
Sure.
So it's very easy to get rid of your cash quickly.
Yeah, so what do you do for fun?
I like to head out to the desert. You know, I do that during the daytime, and then when I come home on the weekend, I've got a motocross bike.
Oh, wow.
I get onto that, and then you head out into the desert. It's spectacular. When you get out there, no
one's
there.
Isn't it also dangerous? I mean, you could get lost. Everything looks like everything when you're in the sand.
Yes. And when we ride the bikes, you do come across people who are stuck, and they've got nothing.
Because if you run out of fuel, for example, in the middle of the desert, you're finished.
You are, and it's so easy to get stuck in the desert. People don't realize this. I mean, you get the guys in the Mustangs, they'll go to do a U-turn. You know, they've missed their turn off, and they go to do a U-turn and drive across a small patch of sand, and they're stuck. That's just inland.
Imagine.
That sucks. Down the road from the cities, never mind in the middle of the desert.
Oof. So I would imagine there's some horror stories, too, of people who've just never come back.
Yeah.
And then you find, like, an abandoned bike and...
I've got friends, they tend to head out for sunsets, and... Uh-huh. 9 times out of 10, I get a phone call saying, look, I'm stuck.
And then you go and fetch them?
Yeah, I let them wait a while.
You're a delightful friend.
Would you find them by GPS?
Yeah, it's because so many people head into the desert, because people get stuck, the cell phone providers there, 9 times out of 10, you'll have signal.
Okay, so
you just drop a pin.
That, thank God, because can you imagine what it would be like without that?
Yeah, it would be very different.
And what are the big struggles of Dubai? I mean, what are the best things? What are the worst things? Because it is a pretty fascinating place. It's not my idea of a holiday.
It depends on what lifestyle you live. I mean, the worst thing is the price of beer. Man, it's expensive.
And where can you and where can't you drink? Because I would imagine in the international hotels, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you've actually got to be careful.
Any hotel that's a 3-star and above, they'll serve alcohol.
Huh.
So you can go to the hotels, you can go to the bars. There's a lot of places you can drink, but there's also certain Emirates where you can't drink.
Hmm.
So Dubai, just so everybody knows, Dubai is not a country, it's an Emirate.
Mm-hmm.
And in Dubai, you can drink alcohol, but the Emirate next door, Sharjah, no alcohol allowed. So even you're not allowed to transport alcohol in your car or anything.
Hmm.
Oh.
And you'll be arrested.
If you're caught without a license, yeah.
Sure.
So tell me about, because a friend of mine with this drinking thing, a friend of mine just a couple of weeks ago went to Dubai for a week of partying. This is what he did. I can't imagine like a stranger thing to do, but he got in his car, went to the airport, hopped on a plane, and was in Dubai for 5 or 6 days, just party after party after party.
And he's still standing.
Huge clubs. Everybody's going full tilt. Beautiful women, loud music.
Yeah, sounds normal.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that. If you didn't know Dubai, you wouldn't know that.
Exactly. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't expect it. But when you get there, it's one of the most advanced places in the world, and not just technologically, but also the club scene. So, I mean, often you'll go down to one of the beach bars, and next minute, Fatboy Slim's on stage. You're like,
casually.
Casually.
Because they can also afford to bring these great artists out there just to play for a day and then gone.
Every weekend.
Somewhere else.
Every weekend, you've got somebody new.
That's amazing.
I went to some...
Concerts?
Yeah, massive concerts. They had the Guns N' Roses now at Abu Dhabi Formula One. That was pretty cool. They got the jazz, I think it's called the Red Fest.
Yeah?
So they've got all superstars coming over.
You were about to tell me a story, and then I interrupted you with concerts.
Which
one? We were talking about clubs and these parties that have artists that come
out. I went to this... Okay, this wasn't in Dubai, but it was in Lebanon. And Lebanon is a very, very, very cool place. And... Yeah, sorry, forgive me, not Lebanon, it was Bahrain. Bahrain, we went to this sort of house party, mm-hmm. and it was looked like a bashed up old house. You know, you got the thatch roof which is falling apart, the empty swimming pool.
Uh-oh.
And the next minute, I'm standing and I look at the stage and it keeps flashing PVD, PVD. I'm like, PVD? It's Paul Van Dyke.
Are you joking?
And we just stumbled into this sort of house party and Paul Van Dyke was there.
That's like, some tumble down house?
What?
How many people were there?
Maybe 100.
Wow. You had like a private party with Paul Van Dyke.
It's very cool.
Jesus, that's amazing.
Yeah.
This seems...
You married?
No.
Got a girlfriend?
I got my girlfriend, yeah. She's Bulgarian.
In Dubai?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's cool.
She also working there?
Yep. She's been there 6 years.
Very, very nice. So you're originally from here?
Yes. Okay. Born and bred in South Africa.
Do you like Dubai enough to want to stay there long?
When I first moved there, no, I did not enjoy it. I'll easily say that for the first 6 months, first year, I despised the place. But now that I've been there, moving on to 4 years, and I understand how it works, and I found what I enjoy, it's a great place. It really, really, really is a great place. One of the key, you know, the key things to it is safety. And for 2 years, the apartment that I shared with two friends, I honestly couldn't tell you what the front door key looked like because we never locked the door for 2 years.
Wow. You see, that's something a lot of South Africans just don't know about.
Yeah.
It's like, how many locks do you have on your door? All right, Liam. Well, this sounds pretty fascinating.
Jeez.
I'm very interested. I mean, it sounds like you've got a great job. Sounds like you're enjoying yourself over there. Maybe I just don't know enough about Dubai.
And I have yet to meet someone who has been to Dubai or lives in Dubai and doesn't tell something along these lines. And I've yet to be disappointed by stories of Dubai because you hear... And you think it is this crazy world and there's so much going on and mix of people and mix of different places. But it seems like that's just the norm there.
It's the norm. And, you know, what you just said, the mix of people. In Dubai, it's an international community. So mm-hmm. everybody's from somewhere. So you get the standard questions. Hey, how are you doing? Where are you from? How long have you been here?
Right.
And the international community, it's a real life changer because you're forced to mix with different people from different cultures and different upbringings. So, you know, I play football, and that guy's from Peru, this guy's from Mexico, he's from Australia, your goalkeeper, he's from Lebanon. It's the mix of people is very cool. You go motocross riding, and you get the guys from Colombia riding with the guy from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a real mix-up.
No, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that there are a lot of people who would say, oh, that's rubbish. Because you get to meet some really interesting people and do really fascinating things. All right, well, you're here to hang out with us today. How long are you in SA for? You said 3 weeks.
Here for 3 weeks, so I landed last Friday morning, and then I fly back on the 6th of Jan.
Nice.
So it's cool.
All right. And you listen to us there?
Yes, and this is what's so surreal about being here. I mean, if you guys could see where I listen to your podcast from, it's unreal. I'm literally in the middle of the desert with nothing around me, maybe a camel or two.
It's amazing.
Otherwise, I'm up in the mountain. Yeah. And it's interesting because I know you've had the guys from Jaguar Land Rover on
yeah, there. Just recently.
And then I'll be driving some new prototype car, and it just sounds amazing, and I want to call you guys and tell you, but obviously not allowed to.
So how far ahead are you in terms of product?
We're pretty far ahead.
Okay, so you know some nifty technology. Okay.
It is interesting, and the way forward is electric cars.
Uh-huh.
It is, the acceleration on those things is ridiculous. I mean, everybody talks about the Tesla. We've got one as one of our, sort of a car that we learn from.
Yeah.
And when you drive through the city with it, you stop in this big, massive Tesla, and we've also got the Jaguar, so it's a similar sort of thing, but you stop in these cars, and you'll have the guys in their Porsche Turbos next to you, the McLarens, the Ferraris, you know, whatever, and the electric car will destroy it.
You're joking.
It won't even give it a chance.
Because you get a lot of those supercars in Dubai, right?
Oh, everywhere. Everywhere.
And you actually beat them?
Yeah, easy.
Jesus. That's a hell of a lot of acceleration.
Up to 60 kilometers an hour, then you're back off.
I'd like to apply for my visa. All right, well, to just clear my schedule.
Yeah, exactly. This sounds like a good idea. See us going over to Dubai to go and find a husband. All right, Anushka says, happy holidays, team. Thank you for keeping us sane this year. I'm off to the NPA in Kimberley for my last business trip. Tomorrow I'm going on a fabulous holiday. Peace and love. Peace and love. Very nice, Anushka. Mm. Nicholas says, hi, Rob, and I need to chill sometime. I think he's my soulmate. Hook us up, Gareth. Nicola? I reckon he's probably on Tinder, so just swipe.
He probably already has a long list of women.
I'm sure. All right, then I want you to hear this. This is a from News 24, festive season special of all the politicians singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. Are you ready? Okay, take a listen to this. That's Cyril.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents. And I need the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
That's Juliet. That's hilarious.
I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. You, baby, all I want for Christmas is you. You, baby.
So that was featuring Julius, Cyril, Musi, and Jacob, and even Jackson Tembu.
See, this Christmas spirit is just so contagious. Even in Parliament. Let's just give them up until... When's the next State of the Nation? In Feb?
I'm not in any hurry.
Until the next beat-up happens.
Let's worry about that, yeah. We'll worry about that when we get to it. All right, so the words of the year. Are you ready for the words of the year? Here they are. Most important things, I think.
Collusion.
No. So Merriam-Webster says the word of the year is justice. The 2018 word of the year was the top lookup throughout the year at Merriam-Webster.com. The dictionary says the concept of justice was at the center of many debates this year, from racial, social, and criminal to economic.
That's what people looked up the most? That's fascinating.
Oxford Dictionaries picked toxic, and Dictionary.com chose misinformation.
Yeah, those make a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah.
So justice was the most looked up word. Wonder if it had anything to do with Justice
Malala. Justice Malala. Well, move to the States and look what happens now.
I don't know. You really think that was the most looked up word, or are they just counting out all the obvious ones like ass and titties and Kardashian and Trump?
I think they had to filter those out.
Yeah,
first.
Because I'm pretty much 99% sure that Trump or Kanye or You know, some of these things must have been up there too. Meghan Markle. I mean, surely they were more searched than the word justice.
And misinformation and toxic.
Yeah.
Oh, these are correct words that are telling of our time.
When else did you use the word misinformation? I mean, fake news.
Yeah,
yes,
was about to say, in the age of fake news, I think it makes sense.
I'm sure someone looked up fake news, but not misinformation. Right?
Anyway, hey, here's to justice.
So there we are. Justice was searched 74% more than in 2017, according to them. I mean, I don't know if that... Maybe it's just because it was searched more, but they also said nationalism saw an 8,000% spike after President Trump called himself a nationalist. So that was an 8,000% spike.
I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist.
Okay. So there we go. How do you like that? That's from CNN.
Huh.
I don't know if that's entirely trustworthy. I think it might be fake news.
You mean might be misinformation?
Yeah, it might be fake news. Definitely.
Misinformation that's absolutely toxic to our justice.
Something like that.
That's what it is.
All right. So, Liam.
Yes.
Don't just sit there with a mouthful of teeth. You've asked to be part of the show.
No.
What kind of news outlets do you watch or listen to in Dubai? I mean, is there... You've obviously
Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, Facebook's a big thing over there. Everybody gets their news through Facebook. Not many people watch TV. People watch TV, but we've got the likes of Netflix.
Yeah,
things
so
like
you can
that.
Choose what you want to watch.
Yeah, so news outlets, it's pretty much just Facebook. Everybody gets the stuff there.
Are people there very vocal? Is there a large kind of free speech community? Because I imagine the Middle East, generally, that's not the case. You have to watch what you say, right?
The Middle East is very different. I mean, everything is being watched, so you've got to be careful what you say, just even in conversation, because, you know, if you leave your phone on the table, depending on who you believe, but the microphone's on. If you say certain things and it gets picked up, you've got to be very, very, very careful what you say, what you post, who you say things about. I think a few years ago there was the Address Hotel which burnt down on New Year's Eve, and there was a couple that were photographed. They took a selfie of themselves with the building on fire behind them.
Oh, yes.
They were thrown in jail.
Yeah, because apparently you can't say bad things about Dubai, and if you do, people get a little bit nervous.
Try find bad news about Dubai.
No, because they're obviously expunging it, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It's whenever you read the papers and things like that, it's always Dubai's on the up, Dubai's the first news, Dubai's the first.
Well, I don't want to be the one to get you into trouble.
No, please don't.
So let's just say nice things about it,
but
huh?
But it is a great place.
Hey, everybody in
really
Dubai,
is.
It's really good. Everything's cool. We all love you.
Liam's doing an amazing job talking about how great you are.
Absolutely.
We don't want anything else spreading around.
It is a cool place. It really is. And once you're there, it's difficult to leave.
But as well with talking about how if authorities are so strict, you don't necessarily move around in fear, do you?
No, not at all. I think there's a misconception there because people are terrified of the police, and when you actually deal with the police, they're generally easygoing guys. They're
and
not
quite professional.
Very professional. They're down to earth. You can communicate with them. They're not there to. Their aim is not to throw you in jail. That's probably the last thing they want to do. It's a peaceful country.
And are there still stigmas with a lot of, you know, like drinking?
Yeah.
Is there a stigma to it, even though, yes, you can drink in certain areas, like in the 3-star-plus hotels?
Yeah, well, generally the hotels are 5-star. It's just the basic ones are the 3-star.
Jesus, some beautiful hotels there, huh?
But
I mean, they say that that's like the leading edge of luxury as well.
It really is. I mean, they've got the new houses now, which I think they call them the Seahorse, which is a house half underwater, half above the water.
Oh, really?
And then they've just built...
How does that work?
I don't know. I haven't been in one yet. I'd love to.
Go and see one. What's wrong with you? Why don't you send us pictures?
I don't know if those are my friends.
Come on.
We need to live vicariously through you now. That's what you haven't realized.
They've just built a new building, which is quite fascinating. It's the window frame. And it's a massive window frame. It's not a hotel. It's not offices. It's nothing. It's picture tech. You know what a window frame looks
like? Yeah, sure.
It's that. Make it 50 stories high.
Yeah.
And then at the top is a glass floor. And the idea behind it is when you look in one direction, you see new Dubai. So you see all the new buildings, everything that looks amazing. Turn around, you see old Dubai. So, you know, the old clock tower and the old parts of the city. So it's very nice.
So that's almost like an art installation.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like. There's some very funny Christmas cards. I don't know if you've seen some of these, Sia. there are a lot of funny Christmas cards going around.
Uh-oh.
Like gangster rapper with a W. Yeah. Christmas take your Christmas chair and shove it up your ass. With bells on.
Can I not receive that this Christmas?
I know, people are sending each other this stuff.
I don't know what's going on this time of the year.
I saw one yesterday in a shop, because I finished the last of my Christmas shopping yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a card that said, Merry fucking Christmas.
Delightful. That's the message you want to hear.
That's a nice one, especially for a kid. That's a good one to give a kid.
You have nieces, you have nephews. Don't you feel like gifting that to them?
No.
Can I just... I've heard of this story. I've researched it so many times to make sure that this is absolutely true. According to several sources, the likes of the New York Post, and Trump might be getting the best Christmas gift ever.
The greatest. Of course he's going to.
Ever.
The best Christmas present. What is it?
A former veteran.
You're going to put Hillary in jail?
What is the one thing
Trump has wanted
for the longest time ever?
I think becoming president was pretty much his. It was his Christmas gift last year. What's he going to get this year?
The wall.
Oh, he's going to put up the wall.
A veteran went onto GoFundMe, and we know over the past couple of months the website GoFundMe has had these ridiculous campaigns that go on there. People are now saying, "Oh, sorry, I have a cough and I can't see my doctor. Please just raise money on my
GoFundMe,
behalf."
GoFundMe, yeah.
Yes. So this veteran, Brian Colfage,
what a name.
Yeah, K-O-L-F-A-G-E, Colfage. He's a proud Trump voter, and he's a disabled Iraq war veteran. Has no connection to the administration at all, but he set up a page on GoFundMe to help Trump build the wall.
You're joking.
As of last night, Wednesday evening, there has been more than $2 million U.S. dollars raised on this account.
Wow,
people, to build the wall.
People really want that wall, huh? They really want that wall.
I just don't understand. This is what Brian wrote on the fundraising page.
I wouldn't give a cent to building our border fence with Zimbabwe, would you?
I mean,
not a single cent.
And
I don't care how many people come across there.
This is how passionate people are about this. He said on the page, if every single Trump voter donates $80 to his wall building campaign, they will raise $5 billion needed to build the border wall. And as of last night, they're standing at $2 million.
Jesus.
And there's still donations being poured in.
I mean, that's a lot of money for people to give up. And really, for what?
They'll just dig under it.
Exactly. Or break right through it.
Climb over the top. I'm waiting for Trump to comment on this. Will he make a press conference? What is going on? Will the money really go to the wall now, all of a sudden? Yeah, it could be untrue, but a lot of sources are now speaking about Brian Colfage and the fact that there are still so many people who are donating. Currently, 22,448 people have donated to the $2 million that have been put, $2 million that have been put forward to this. Sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I think that's ridiculous. Okay, so here's Nicola. She's back. She said, I'm not on Tinder. It's too gross. I need a personal referral. Gareth, we go so way back. You're practically my brother who came up with brains. So she wants me to set her up with Hi Rob. Seriously?
I do admire her buttering up skills. I think...
You can't smoke weed in Dubai, right? Okay.
No, you cannot.
Surely, I'm
no,
okay.
No, you can't.
No, we didn't necessarily say you weren't Virginia.
Because I was thinking like Hi Rob would last 5 minutes there. It wouldn't go so well. What are you doing for New Year?
I'm heading down to Clarence. I've got a friend's wedding on the 31st.
Ooh.
So it's going to be absolute chaos, and I feel for the people of Clarence.
Yeah, shame. It's
not a big place.
Such a beautiful place, and then people come in there and ruin it and leave.
We won't. I promise we'll try to
And they make it disheveled and untidy. And
No, we won't. We'll look after the place, but we're really looking forward to going there.
I really don't get the trend of people getting married in December.
Ah, it's happening. It's clearly a big deal. It's summer, see? It's beautiful. Why would you want to get married in the cold winter?
I get it is the festive season where a lot of people take time off, but it's also the time where people are going on their own holidays and they're using money on themselves. Yesterday, I actually went with a friend who had to buy something for a wedding, and we went to two different stores. There was a gift registry, and my goodness, like the amount of money people spend on gifts now, yeah. And this is what people will stipulate. I respect more people who say, you know, we understand that you even coming to our wedding is more than enough. I don't think that's a cliche. I genuinely think, you know, that holds something. But for people who do expect gifts and who go out and they stipulate things, there were kettles for like $600. Like, you just need to boil water. Why are we spending $600?
And also, I don't see how it's my responsibility. If you invited me to your wedding to stock up your kitchen,
I agree with you 100%. I'm not a fan of it.
I mean, who the hell are you?
And see, talking about kettles, you got to get yourself a smart kettle. It's a wireless kettle, so you just switch the kettle on from your cell phone, bang, water's boiling.
That makes a lot of sense, because how much time do you spend wasting?
Walking to the kettle,
waiting for it to boil.
Sorry, I'll even fold my arms on.
You got one of those?
No, I've got one. Yeah, definitely, it's cool. All my lights, my sound system, everything. It's
all connected.
Yeah,
I love that. So you've got a smart home.
I do.
Damn, that's cool.
It's cool. You can change the color of the lights.
Yeah,
millions of colors on your.
It's always Christmas in your apartment.
It is. The red light means it's Christmas time, I promise.
Not the red light district.
Filthy.
I get it on paper, but I also think this is slightly our demise as humankind. If we're getting so lazy that we can't sit on the edge of the bathtub waiting for it to fill up, and rather we have to preset it and
I think that's amazing.
Push a button. And
no, it's great. You really want to spend time worrying about that kind of shit. Make your life better.
Talking about experiences in the first hour, is a worry in your life just boiling water?
No, but it's not something you should spend any time thinking about.
It's
something
convenient.
That technology can solve for you.
You wake up, you lie in bed, and you're like, oh, I really want a coffee. But, you know, you're too tired to get up and go put the kettle on. Just push a button.
Guys,
you already do that for your relationships, Thea. Don't pretend you're any less interested in the kettle.
Next thing, we'll have someone to scratch our noses for
all right.
us.
Well, I've got this Christmas party tonight, and we all have to do a secret Santa gift. It has to be under 100 rand, and it must be the shittest thing you can find in a shop. So I will report back on what I get
on how
in the
it
new
goes.
Year as well. Yeah, so they're 14 of us, so everybody has to buy some shit gift for 100 rand.
Mm.
And then we'll see. You kind of draw a name out of a hat. The way it works is if you're the first person, you can swap with anybody.
Yeah.
So if you like the look of someone else's gift, if you think it looks better from the wrapping.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
So it's a bit of a gamble at the same time.
By the way, can we just quickly, because I know we've got like 3 minutes left of this. I'm a terrible Christmas wrapper. I don't know how to wrap gifts at all. They always look like shit. It looks like someone's attacked it with masking tape, and the paper is always mismatched. And then I know people who do such a beautiful job of wrapping, and I feel bad for them because they go to all this trouble, and someone just tears it off.
Yes. Actually, we spoke about it the other day in the office, and Smongile said that she once had a holiday job where that was what she had to do. So now I'm like, actually, girl, I don't know what you're doing over
you
the next couple
presents?
Of days, but can I...
You had to wrap presents?
Yeah. No. I used to work in Sandton, and I used to wrap gifts when I was in tertiary at some point.
Yeah?
So I became, like, good at it.
So you
I
really
actually
do,
love it.
You do a beautiful job?
Even, like, I even know not to waste wrapping paper.
Oh,
and
God.
To also use it...
I wish
it.
You'd told me this last week. I would have brought you presents to wrap. I would have paid you money.
Yay!
I'm useless at this.
I actually love it.
How do you wrap something like... I mean, I haven't given anyone a soccer ball, but how would you wrap a soccer ball?
Well, usually with that, we'd use old boxes, like small... But we always had boxes for
oh,
that,
so you
like
put
small
the key is to put it in a
yeah,
box.
Yeah, if it's round, it's very impossible to wrap, so we'll use boxes. But if it's something that already comes in a square or whatever... Then it's...
You know what I love? Is those bags you can buy. You just buy the bag.
See, I love those too. But, you know, when you are budget constrained,
did you
the
do
wrap
the
is the cheapest thing.
So did you also do the ribbons and all that
yeah,
shit
yeah.
too?
Yeah, oh. yeah. It came with those, so they teach you how to, you know. They were pretty very, like, professional. So when I passed by our normal shops in Rivonia, I'm like, oh, she's terrible. What is she doing? Yeah. I'm very judgmental when it comes to... wrapping gifts.
Well, don't look at mine. I'll take a picture of one of the gifts I've wrapped, and you'll be horrified.
I think for your gift tonight, because you said it's got to be pretty shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap it in newspaper.
That's a good idea.
It's a shitty gift. Give shitty wrapping paper.
Maybe even toilet paper.
Yeah.
Imagine wrapping it in toilet paper. That's actually what I think I might do.
I actually feel good about myself because it's a trend our family has had for many years of always our local SPCA mm-hmm. always does this drive every year of having volunteers who wrap Christmas gifts and then you donate this. I'm like, yeah, two birds with one stone because anybody
got
time
for. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, no, we give them our gifts to wrap.
All right.
Yes, and then all you have to do is just give a little donation to the SPCA. So yeah, you're doing some good and you also don't have to do the whole stress of sellotape and whatnot.
Oh, Nicola says she's also in Dubai and she's got a GoFundMe account for a Dubai debt.
Oh.
Did you go out on a Friday? Did you go on a brunch?
Nicola, join the club.
We cannot help you. All right. Well, Liam, it's very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming to spend some time with us this morning.
Ooh, thank you for having me. It's
very, very
a pleasure
to see you. Sure. We've got Robin Banks coming up next. I spoke to him last week. He's a motivational speaker and entrepreneur. He's a guy full of all kinds of optimism and positivity, and he's the perfect guy to bring the show to an end this year. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, Sia and Leanne will be here to look after you, and they've got Nathan Rowe popping by as well. So that is technically our last show of the year, but I will see you on the 7th of January. I am so excited about this holiday. I can't tell you. And you know what? The best part is I'm going to be doing nothing.
just take a screenshot of your calendar over the next week and just frame it.
I'm going to.
And right in the thick of things in April next year when we have back-to-back-to-back meetings, just look back on it.
Yes.
Frame it, leave it on your desk.
Excellent, excellent stuff. All right, everybody, be good.
This is CliffCentral.com.